Will you please turn to Genesis chapter 1? And by the way, Genesis is one of my favorite books, really because it's the beginning and there's so much there. But Genesis chapter 1, verses 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said, let them be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, one of the things that we notice about Genesis chapter 1, or about the whole story of Adam, is that Adam was not born. He was created. So he skipped he had a completely different type of life that we would have, meaning, you know, we start off as babies, we grow up, we learn, we develop. It appears that Adam just knew. You know, God gave him wisdom. And part of the reason was is because Adam was connected to God, sort of like a baby in the womb with the umbilical cord, times a million. You know, he had the direct connection to God. God knew his presence. Adam knew God's presence. And so Adam was a grown adult when he was born, when he was created. And, you know, God gave him tasks, you know, name the animals, which, you know, some of those names of animals are like 12, 15 characters long. some crazy animals. And I'm pretty sure they had different type of animals than we have today. But my main point is that the way our babies, you know, I just had a baby a couple years ago. And when he is born, he knows nothing but I'm hungry and I need to be changed. There's really not a lot, you know, going on in there. He's processing all the different new things outside of the mother's womb. But Adam didn't have to deal with that. He was directly connected with God. So when Adam sinned, God knew it. He knew it not from a physical standpoint, but from the connection standpoint. The connection was broken. He literally, when God said, "You shall surely die, you shall die," that "surely die" means you shall die, die, die. He died twice, meaning he shall be spiritually dead, and then physically he shall eventually die. And I know we hear a lot about born again, which is one thing I do appreciate about this ministry here, is that we hear a lot about born again, praying in the Spirit. And I think that's important because it's the foundation, it's the root. And there's so many different branches that come from that. And I've noticed, I grew up in apostolic denomination, and I've heard a lot of different other denominations. And there's so much misunderstanding, and it all stems from not enough word about born again and praying in the Spirit. So I do appreciate that, Pastor Jim, and other ministers that come up here. We do have the Avengers ministry, I think, here. We have Brother Bronk that comes down. We have our own people here. I think we have some of the strongest ministers word-wise and doctrine-wise that I've seen. And I listen to, I watch a lot of different stuff on YouTube and different stuff. A lot of it is not good. My wife was just reading a book, a children's book, to my sons. And when it got to the part to where the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, the book said God's love came down in the form of a dove. And I was doing something. And I'm like, what? Like, they said, hold on, read that again. And it said God's love came down in the form of a dove and completely dismissed the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I was like, oh, man. And then it came to another part, and I was like, you know what? We're done with that book. We're not even about to start that. And so my wife was like, all right, you know, she still tried to read some of it just to see. And I'm like, yeah, you see the difference between them trying to mask the Holy Spirit. But anyway, the whole point is that I want to kind of lay a little bit of foundation, because I want to speak to the connection of the born again process, what Adam had, what he lost, and now what we have. Because just like at a job, when you get a handbook, a manual, it shows you a lot about the job or the specific task that you're going to be doing. And understanding the connection of your born-again spirit, it really unleashes a whole plethora of knowledge about who we are, what we're supposed to be doing, and also the benefits that we have. Now, God's original plan, obviously, was to have us connected to Him in a way to where we can talk to Him, we can walk with Him. There's no sickness, there's no death. He wanted us to have full access to His power, to His creative ability, His mind, His emotions. Because as we just read, it says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So to look like us and to act like us. And obviously He was talking of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now Adam sinned when he did sin. It changed everything. So we know that it disconnected him from God, and it basically made it to where man is relying upon an outward fleshly relationship with God. So God is limited. You know, He can only do certain things in terms of, for example, when He wanted to convey a message, He had to come the burning bush. He had to come in the form of a prophet. He had to come in the form of this or that, because everything was outwardly, and the connection was gone. So now, the different types of ways that I've seen, especially in the Old Testament, like I said, we spoke about the burning bush, a lot of the different prophets, God will give them a word, dreams, visions. There's a lot of just different ways that God communicated. And the loss of the connection with God affected the body in a lot of different ways. So, for example, because of sin, because of death, because of corruption, now our bodies decay. You know, a lot of it is sped up. The devil uses the events in Genesis chapter 3 to his advantage. And then sometimes the body just starts to decay. You know, you get sick, you get a headache, got fever. There's a lot of different things that go on. Now, we do have natural things, herbs, medicines. Thank God for modern medicine, because without modern medicine, you know, lifespan would be really, really short. Not just in humans, animals, things like that. Medicine really helps prolong our life, and I believe that God knew we would need this because of that. Now, if we fast forward to Jesus, and I'm just kind of just laying a foundation with this, because I want to get through. I want to make sure that I get through this information, because I believe it's important to know what we have. Now, so we fast forward to Jesus. Okay, we have Jesus on the scene. He's going around healing people, but notice everything is still outwardly. People have to physically be touched by Jesus, or Jesus sends a word, or you touch the hem of His garment. Just different things. For example, John 6:2, Luke 9:6, Luke 13:32. Those are all examples of Jesus having to physically heal someone or to speak a word for healing. So everyone, that's why you notice all those people were flocking to Jesus, because healing was not available. A lot of the different things, the spoken blessing was not available. So Jesus came introducing the rules and regulations of the kingdom, which is according to the connection. Because remember, Jesus was basically born again, even though he wasn't born again the way we are. He was born with the life of God. Now, Jesus' death and resurrection, when that happened and he gave up the ghost, and we know the veil was torn, and that basically signified, okay, now there's different rules. There's different rules, and Romans 10:9-10 gives us the rules in terms of reinitiating the connection, being born again. So I know I kind of just sped through that, but like I say, the later part is a little heavier, so I want to kind of dig in on that. Now, the word says, after that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, after you're born again. So we're at the born again line, assuming everyone here is born again. If you're not, you definitely need to get born again. So we're at the born again line, and the word says, after you have been endued with power, after you have the Holy Ghost, you shall be endued with power. Now, most times we look at that power as, you know, an arm growing back or a leg growing back. But part of that power is the ability to be able to develop our faith, to be able to have a right mind. We've been given the mind of Christ, the ability to be obedient, the ability to live a sinless life. That's power also. And now, one of the main things that the Holy Spirit did, and I know we talk about tongues a lot, but one of the most significant things he did was brought tongues. Now that we have that connection, what happens is that we're reconnected to God spiritually, just how Adam was. So with that being said, a lot of times, you know, we're sick. You know, the doctor told us we had this. We have Oompa Loompa disease, whatever thing you can think of. And we see a lot of believers, they die without being healed. We see a lot of believers that just suffer with the sickness or whatever the situation may be. The thing is that now that we have the connection, it needs to be activated. And what I mean, so let me give you an example. Let's just say we have some antibacterial hand soap. And you buy the soap, you put it on, and it says it'll clean your hands, so you put it on. And it's like, hold on, the dirt is still there. I have all this wet stuff on my hands, but nothing is happening. Well, you look on a bottle, and it says you have to add water. That means the soap in and of itself does nothing if you don't add the water to activate the soap. And you rinse the soap, or you put the water on the hands, and voila, now I can actually wash my hands because it's a chemical reaction that happens when you do the water. It's similar also. Say if you open up a bank account and they give you a debit card, or a debit card comes in the mail, that's usually how it happens, and you try to go to the store, to the mall, say, hey, I want to buy a coat, and they're like, well, your transaction is declined. And you're like, well, I have money in there. What's going on? Well, you call the bank, and they're like, well, it looks like your card isn't activated yet. Even though you have the bank account, you have the card, it's as simple as activating it. Now, with us believers, what we have to do is when we're born again, we have to activate the new life that we have. And what I mean by that is when the Holy Spirit comes and gives us that power, in order to activate the blessings, the healing, we have to use it to our benefit. Meaning, so before I get ahead of myself, let me break this down. Now, we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit, now our bodies are getting sick, we're crying out to God, Lord, heal us. And God is like, listen, I've given you everything that I have. There's nothing else that I have that you don't have. So that's where it comes to understanding how to use the power of praying in the Spirit, because essentially, if we can break it down like this. When you go to work, you work, you put in your hours, you make an hourly wage, you get that money, you put the money in the bank, and you can use your debit card. Well, it's been said that faith is the currency of heaven. So in order for us to activate our born-again spirit to be used, we have to put in time praying in the Spirit, and we're building up that currency to where we can start using it. For example, if I'm sick, the healing comes out of my born-again life. God doesn't come down and say, okay, you know, be healed. Like Jesus, when he was going around healing people, the healing is released from inside, not from the Holy Spirit, but from my life. And what he has done is he has given me power to be able to build up faith currency to where I have enough to where I can say, okay, so for example, I have a headache. I've been praying in the Spirit. Guess what? I've built up enough faith to where I'm healed. Let's just forget about me laying my hands on somebody else. Me, myself, born again, I'm looking in the mirror. I should be able to, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And again, that healing is released from my born-again spirit. God has set it up to where, okay, just like Jesus said, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, not the size, but the way the mustard seed operates, then you shall say to this mountain, be there removed. And so the more we build up ourselves on our most holy faith, the more faith currency we have, the more things we can take care of in the spirit. So say I have a headache, I have a stubbed toe, you know, I start to build up, okay, I'm praying in the spirit, I'm spending an hour a day, whatever, 2 hours a day. And just like that job, you're putting in hours and time, excuse me, for that the money that you can put in your physical bank, the time you're spending praying in the spirit, you're building up currency in the faith to be able to cash that in to say, I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And what happens is that activates the born-again spirit to be able to release the healing to the part of the body. If you take aspirin, it doesn't know where the sickness is. It just goes throughout the body and it numbs it. But when your born-again spirit it releases the power, it knows exactly where to go. If you have a headache, if you go to the doctor and they said, we got to cut your foot off, you have cancer, you have diabetes, you have heart disease, liver disease. The thing is that we can pray to God and he wants to heal us, but more importantly, he wants to give us the understanding of what he has already done. He wants to give us the understanding of, okay, you need to be healed. We recognize that. This is what you need to do. You don't have enough faith or you don't have enough currency in your spiritual bank to take care of this. This is what you need to do. And God might give you, this is just an example, God might give you, okay, I need you to spend 2 hours a day praying in the Spirit. I need you to spend 3 hours a day praying in the Spirit. I need you to spend this much time praying in the Spirit, because he knows that, according to Jude, build yourself up on your most holy faith, and guess what? You will build, and that faith will come to where, as you're confessing God's word, it's filled with faith now. It's not just words that we're saying. You know, we can read the word and say, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. But if we don't have enough faith, then those are just empty words. Because remember, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, again, the power that the Holy Spirit gives us is the ability to be able to pray in the Spirit, build ourselves up on our most holy faith, to be able to live holy, to be able to live righteous, to be able to be an example to where when we do these things, now when we come into God's presence, we can come in with praise and worship. Because guess what? Everything else is already taken care of. It's been a couple times in my life to where I had, I used to break out in hives real bad when I would come in contact with grass or, you know, cut grass or shellfish or just different things to where my eyes would swell up real bad. I remember when I first met my wife, she was like, what in the world is wrong with you? I mean, she didn't know what to think. And it just used to really get me down because I would have to stay in the house for weeks at a time because once it was activated, it was like anything that I can just breathe the air and then I just would break out in hives. I had allergies really bad. And so I just used to, you know, Lord, I know this is not what you want. You know, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this or this is not supposed to be happening to me, but I do recognize, you know, my body is in a state of degeneration. And God just began to deal with me, and he would, you know, explain to me, listen, you're supposed to be healed. You're supposed to be delivered. You are delivered. You are healed. This is what you need to do. And so I began just praying in the Spirit. And I do understand the need to get along with God and pray 1, 2, 3 hours. But I've come to the point to where I want to talk to God all day. So when I wake up, usually I wake up, I'll put the boys to sleep, put them in their areas, and I might wake up, you know, to a kick in the face or something because they've crawled in my bed. And when I get up, I might, you know, go get a drink of water. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm trying to talk to God. I'm engaging with Him because I know if I start my day, it might be 3-4 in the morning. If I start that time, just I might spend a few minutes praying in the Spirit before I go back to sleep or try to do a little bit of praise and worship. Sometimes I'll walk around the house and just declaring healing. You know, my wife is asleep. You know, one time she caught me and she's like, well, that's creepy. What are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm just praying. Go back to sleep. She didn't know what I was doing, but I felt I'm not saying that the Lord said, wake up. You know, it was just, I woke up and I just felt the energy was off. So I just began to pray. And then she was like, why are you standing over me? I'm like, I'm praying for you. Which I can see how if you're just open your eyes and somebody is standing right there, that could be a little weird. But I promise you, it was a good intentions involved. And I wasn't trying to startle her, but I feel like it's my job as the head of the house to set a spiritual standard and to protect the house. And part of that is praying, is worshiping. So I find in the middle of the night that time to where I'm engaging my born again spirit to release healing in my body. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm saying, you're healed. Even if there's nothing wrong, I'm being proactive and I'm speaking to the things in my life that I know I'm responsible for releasing. Meaning that me praying in the Spirit, I know I'm responsible for me basically enforcing what God has already said I'm supposed to do. Healing, financial, you know, Jesus, you provided everything that I need. You know, we're not in need, we're not in lack, we're not in debt. We use wisdom, just those things to where I am engaging in with the Holy Spirit to where it's not just me reading the word, me just standing up here, you know, or me just with my wife, we read the word, we pray just as a robot. It's more, I'm really learning and developing a relationship with God based on me just talking with Him throughout the day, praying in the Spirit in between clients. I might read the word. I might listen to the word. I'll put on a sermon, you know, while I'm eating my food. I have a real thing about when I'm eating, I need to be doing something else, like watching TV or listen to sermons. So I really don't get a chance to watch a lot of TV. So now while I'm eating, I'll pull out my tablet and I'll listen to a sermon, and I've replaced that with that. But I'm noticing that all of those little things have helped build up the spiritual currency that I was talking about, the faith, to where now when I'm coming up against things, and not just, you know, praying for other people or anything like that, but just myself, I feel more confident to where, okay, I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. You know, if I do go to the doctor and they say, well, you know, this or that, okay, I know what I need to say. And I'm using that time, I'm using the time praying in the Spirit to release healing into my body. I know my mother right now, she's battling a lot of different things, and I just pray that, you know, the Lord would open up her mind and her heart to receive the fact that, you know, you're responsible for your healing, and meaning that you are responsible for praying in the Spirit, you are responsible for releasing God's word in your life and basically reshaping whatever your body, your mind has been telling you in terms of the negativity. Oh, you won't be healed. Oh, you won't be delivered. Those are all things that we're responsible for. And those are all things that are taken care of when I'm engaging and praying in the Holy Spirit. I remember this one time, we were at the Cheesecake Factory. This was a while ago. And this guy came up. It was this older guy. He was super nice. I can just tell. And I was like, hey, how you doing? And he was like, oh, I'm doing good, man. I got to go to chemo tomorrow. You know, I got to get rid of this cancer. I'm like, oh, man. Okay, I'm supposed to pray for this guy. And he was coming. He came sit down to me, next to me. And I'm talking to him like, oh, yes, so what are they saying? He's like, man, they're giving me couple weeks to live. I had a couple more chemo, this last one, and then one right before that, but they're saying I might not make it. And this whole time, I just know God is like, all right, now you need to pray for him. And I'm not going to lie to you. I was scared. I was nervous. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray for him. And so as I'm about to pray for him, they're like, oh, sir, your table's ready. So his wife comes to get him. I'm like, oh, man, I was supposed to pray for him. And so I'm feeling down. I'm like, man, I was supposed to pray for that guy. And here comes my wife. You were supposed to pray for him. Like, really? I know that. Out of nowhere, like, how did you even see what was going on? But anyway, my point is that from that time, that was probably about a year or two ago, from that time, I have learned and I'm developing understanding about the healing, God using the born-again spirit that we have to release healing. So I don't know if whatever you're battling, whatever you're dealing with, the best way, well, not the best way, the only way that God has shown us we are to grow in his word and we are to take care of this body, because remember, this is just a vessel. You know, obviously one day it'll stop working, but this is our responsibility to make sure that this vessel is taken care of and we are using the tools that God has given us to release the healing to that vessel. So like I say, whether you have as small as a headache, whether it's big as cancer, whether it's liver disease, whether it's lung, whatever the situation is the healing is already there. It's there. If you're born again and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you not only do you have the power to release the healing, we have the power of healing in you, you have the power to release the healing. So the main thing that God has shown me is that once we come to the understanding, and there's so much more. I'm trying not to. I created this whole thing, and I'm condensing it because I don't want to go off into, you know, part two. But the thing that I came up with, and I was looking at, I follow Smith Wigglesworth group on Facebook, and Catherine Kuhlman, they post a lot of her stuff on there, and she was pretty cool. I read a little. I don't know all that much about her, but Catherine Kuhlman was definitely a woman of faith. She believed in praying in the spirit, born again, and she talked about just engaging with the Holy Spirit on a regular, which that coincides with what we hear in this place and what the Word says about doing that. Now, one of the benefits of activating our born-again spirit is that not only do we have healing that is released through our spirit to our body, but also mentally. Now, according to the Word, we have been given the mind of Christ. Now, that means understanding is released. Say if you're in a situation where, you know, you're trying to figure something out. We have understanding. We have wisdom. We have knowledge. That's all in there. That's just like the healing is released. That is released also. So if you have a situation where, you know, you need an answer, God is like, okay, ask me, and I will release it. Basically, it's like a download. Just think of a computer, and you send something, and it downloads, and it just shows up. And it's been a couple times to where I feel like God was like, why didn't you ask me? You know, there's all kinds of situations to where God gets mad when you don't come to him for understanding, for wisdom. You know, we run to the internet. Sometimes we run to Google. We run to this. And God is like, why didn't you come ask me? You know, we have different mentors. There's people, mentors. There's these different groups that I see on Facebook, and they all want to give advice and this and that. And we ask them questions, and we do this. And God is like, why don't you ask me? You know, the whole purpose of, not the purpose, but one of the benefits of being connected to God is that every single thing that we need is right there at our access. We are literally connected, similar to a baby and an umbilical cord, but it's not like in the womb like the actual baby, but we have actual connection to God, to where now when I go to God and I have a decision to make, I can say, okay, Lord, what do I need? For example, I'm in a process of, and I've told a couple of you about this, but with my business, I'm in the process of creating a software that we will be releasing here in the next couple months. And so we hired this company out of Tennessee, and they basically built the framework for the software. And then so we paid them to basically build everything, and they said, okay. Long story short, we came to the part to where they were supposed to create the software that went in there, and there was a misunderstanding, and they said, well, we can't do it. And so it was a halt in the project. And I'm like, okay, Lord, hold on. This is a problem. And so, you know, it was the lawyers were going to get involved. It got serious. You know, it was a lot of money that was involved in here, and I have investors. And they were like, dude, this is not what we signed up for. And so I'm like, okay. I didn't really know what to do. And God was like, well, you can ask me. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, what do I do? And so it was a lot of back and forth. And so we end up coming to an agreement. I said, okay, listen, I don't want to get lawyers involved. I don't think that's the right move. It's going to delay it too long. How about we just get another outside company to do the work? We'll pay them, and then you just program them together. So we have a company in Tennessee. We have a company that we end up hiring out of Ukraine, out of all places, because I did some research in the court, and apparently Russia and Ukraine have the best developers. I'm like, well, they're fighting each other. How am I supposed to use one of them? And so we end up going with the company out of Ukraine, and they're in Poland. And so they created the software. Everything is done. And so now it was time to deliver the company from Ukraine did their part. Now we're delivering it to the company in Tennessee. Well, they're saying, well, hold on. There's some more work that needs to be done. It's going to be an extra $15,000. And I'm like, are you serious? So I'm stressing about it. I'm not going to lie. I was praying, but to be honest, it was some stress involved. And, you know, I was going back and forth, and I'm talking to my wife about it, and she's like, you just need to pray. And I'm just like, yeah, I know. And I'm trying to come up with all these different ways to come up with this extra money. And this whole time, God is just like, just relax. I got you. You know, and I'm like, yeah, Lord, but I need to do this. I need to, you know, I need to. Not me telling him, but in my mind, I'm feeling I need to be in charge of this process. Something is going wrong, and I need to physically do something. So long story short, fast forward a couple weeks ago, I was like, okay, I said, Lord, I give up. I don't know what to do. My investors, they're breathing down my neck. They want answers. This project has been on hold for 2 years, and it's only supposed to take 6 months. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. And then out of nowhere, God was like, well, just go back to the agreement. Because this time I said, okay, Lord, I'm just leave it up to you. I don't even care anymore. I'm just leaving it up to you. And then in the middle of the night, he was like, well, just go back to the agreement. And I was like, huh? Like, what agreement? And I ignored it, and I just kept hearing agreement. It wasn't like a go back to the agreement. It was just a check in my spirit to look back in the agreement. So, okay, I went back and I did some digging, and lo and behold, according to the agreement, the work that they were asking us to get done, it cost $15,000, they said they would do. So I'm like, hold on. So it says that you guys will do this. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, so is that what, am I reading it right? Because it's all lawyer language. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm I'm assuming that this is what this says, because, and I start breaking it down, it's like he started to download the understanding of this document, and I'm like, hold on. So for 2 years, I've been stressing about this extra $15,000, and the whole time, they were supposed to do it. So I sent them a nice email, professional email, and I said, hey, so according to our agreement and a screenshot, you guys were supposed to do this. And guess what? They said, oh, okay. I'm like, wait, what? Hold on, so I've been stressing all this time, and that's all you got to say is okay? I mean, I didn't say that to them, but in my mind, they're like, okay, we'll be done by the end of February. I was like, oh. I just said, you know what, Lord, from now on, whatever situation I come into, I know I've said this before, but I really mean it this time. Whatever situation I come into, I promise you, I am going to come to you, because that was just an example of the answer was already there. The answer, everything that I needed was already there. It was just a matter of me activating it, whether it be praying in the spirit and God breaking the thing down to where I can understand it, because I didn't want to send it to a lawyer because they want to charge you $1,000 an hour to, you know, sit on their desk for about 10 hours and then they read it. They send you another bill. So for him to be able to break down the understanding, which, like I say, when, you know, if any of you have dealt with a lawyer, that language can get crazy. Therefores, and it's just a lot of unnecessary words if you ask me. But... But again, he was able to break that down to where I didn't have to ask anybody. I didn't have to go and say, hey, what does this mean? What does that mean? It's just like, how do I understand this? So anyway, my point is that that's just another example of us praying in the spirit, activating our born-again spirit to release whatever it is we need, whether it's the healing, like I mentioned, whether it's understanding, whether it's knowledge. And then also, I came to the point where I'm like, okay, Lord, this thing is going to be done. This is going to be a big project. We need to come up with marketing dollars. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I promise I wasn't going to stress about it. So what do you say? And then again, he just downloaded a complete marketing plan that I was going to have to pay another marketing company, you know, $20,000 to come up with this plan. And I literally, like in two nights, have a complete marketing plan that didn't exist. And again, I didn't have to ask anybody. It was just, you know, I went to bed praying in the spirit. My wife, she falls asleep to the voice thing on the Bible app, and they're just talking. And you know how you fall asleep with that, and you can hear them in your dreams? Well, one night she would fall asleep to that, and I was dreaming, and I just... For some reason, I woke up and I'm like, I just had the complete outline to this marketing plan. I'm like, wow, I was just going to have to pay tens of thousands of dollars to come up with this content. And boom, it's like, okay, Lord, thank you. Like, seriously, like, thank you. And now I'm moving towards, okay, Lord, I see that you're working with me on this. I will make sure that I'm not only spending time praying in the spirit, I want to use this ability more. Okay, Lord, what do you want and for me to minister? What do you want for me to do this? What do you want for this? And the other day I was driving and I was asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do in this particular situation? And I almost had to pull over because it was like the information just... I'm like, hold on, let me pull over real quick. And so I started writing notes, but it showed me that no matter what it is, whether it's healing, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, finances, peace of mind, whatever the situation is, I need to engage with the Holy Spirit, and it will be released through my born-again spirit. So my point is, and, you know, not to drag this point out too much, is that if you're dealing with, let's focus on healing, because that's a big one. if you're dealing with something and you know what it is, you know when you get up in the morning and your elbow is aching or you stubbed your toe on the bed, whatever the situation is, we need to make sure that we're spending time, and this goes for me first. We need to make sure we're spending enough time praying in the Spirit so we can build up that faith, build up those faith dollars. I mean, I don't look at it as real money, but just think of going to the bank and you've worked all the 40 hours at your job and you have whatever you make and you're able to spend that. Consider thinking that in the Spirit. Okay, I've spent so many hours praying in the Spirit. I spent 3, 4, 5 hours praying in the Spirit. You're building up those faith dollars. So when it's time to cash in or when it's time to make a deposit or it's time to say, okay, Lord, I've been to the doctor. They said I have an aneurysm. How much faith dollars do you have to deal with that? How much time have you been spending praying in the Spirit to build up your faith to be able to tackle that? Okay, Lord, I have a cavity. I'm healed by you. See what I'm saying? No matter what the situation is, whether it's small or large, the Lord looks at us. If God forbid, if you pass away and make it to heaven, he's like, you know you're supposed to deal with that. He does not want us. He does not build us up, give us all this knowledge, all this wisdom, just for us to die too soon to where you can't be effective in helping someone else. The purpose of the power is not just to show that, okay, I can pray for somebody and their arm grows back, or I can pray for somebody and they get their sight. Obviously, that's good. I can raise the dead. He doesn't want to build us up to the point to where we can do all of that. And we've been praying in the Spirit. We've been fasting. We've been worshiping. We've been, interceding. We've been studying the Word. And then, boom, something takes us out. And God is like, man, you were supposed to deal with that. I needed you. Yeah, you were supposed to do other stuff, but I needed you to build up your faith so that you can keep attacking this stuff that's coming against your body. So you can keep attacking. Me and my wife have conversations all the time, and I know I probably get on her nerves sometimes, but the main point is that, hey, you got a headache? Let's go. Get rid of that. You don't feel good? Let's go. I know she probably wants, okay, you're okay. No, let's go. Let's get rid of it. And she does the same thing to me. I'm like, can you pray for me? She's like, yeah, I can pray for you. And which there's nothing wrong with someone else praying for you. I like getting prayed for. Sometimes I abuse it. Like, hey, can you pray for me? I want her to pray for me extra just because for me, I know that she has life in her. I have life in me. And sometimes mentally, I may not be there in terms of, okay, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that. I know I have it to release in me, but hey, babe, can you pray for me? I have a headache. Or can you pray for me? She might say, you ate too many chips or, something. She might make fun of me, but she's still going to pray for me. and that happens more often than not. But my point is that we are supposed to engage. We're supposed to allow the Spirit to do the work in terms of being released. Again, yeah, we can cry out to God and he wants to help us, but more so the help he wants to give us is to open our understanding. Like, hey, yeah, here, I know you want to be healed. We recognize there's something wrong with your body, but let's check this verse out and see what it says about your healing. Oh, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Yes. Okay, Lord, it's not happening, though. I'm still sick. And he's like, you are still sick. Because what did Jesus tell his disciples? It's because of your unbelief. When they couldn't heal the boy, he said it's because of your unbelief. So that lets us know that. And again, I know you guys, we all hear about praying in the Spirit a lot, which is good. We need to hear it because it needs to be drilled into us. Is that praying in the Spirit, worship, fasting in the Word is the foundation for anything. I mean, whatever you deal with in your body and your mind, it can be dealt with between those. Specifically, praying in the spirit, just because of the power that it holds in terms of allowing us to build up ourselves. Just imagine if all of us, let's just put a number on it, if all of us were at 70-fold in faith, imagine the hospitals we could release. You know, all the people that are sick. Just imagine all of the different things that we could do. And this goes for me. I'm like, Lord, I want to be at 100% faith. You know, I know sometimes I say I'm going to pray this amount of time, and I end up falling asleep. And that's one thing the Lord had to deal with me. Sometimes I just don't get on my knees and pray. I walk around because I can be praying and it's going good. And like, what happened? I wake up, my legs are numb, because I fall asleep, my arms are numb, and I'm like, this is weird. And I probably only spent 10 minutes praying in the spirit, the rest of it was sleep. And so now I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk around and pray in the spirit. I'm going to build up my spirit, man. I'm going to do it. And it works better for me that way. Now, I do still get on my knees and pray, but my point is that whatever I need to do, whether I'm driving in the car, whether I'm watching a movie, whether I'm, you know, anything that I'm doing, I'm trying to spend as much time as I can building up my faith, because one thing I know is that, for one, the body is in a constant state of degeneration, and also the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking those he may devour. So if I can be proactive in my attack, not only praying in the spirit when I'm sick or when I need something, but when everything is going good. Because then I have enough reserve to where when something happens, boom, I can deal with it. I had someone steal my wallet the other day, and I was at the grocery store, and it must have fallen out my pocket at Kroger's. And so I'm asking my wife, I'm like, man, I can't find my wallet. And she's just helping me. All my cards are in there. Everything is in there. She's helping me. We're tearing up everything trying to look for my wallet. And I get a call the next day from my bank and say, hey, you know, right, I got right Pat. And they're like, did you spend $1,000 at Walmart? I'm like, no. I'm like, what? So we look at each other. I'm like, oh, they got me. So we went up to Walmart, called the police. The police came. They looked at the video. Sure enough, it's two ladies, and they're just going through all my cars, just trying to see what they can spend. I'm like, Lord. And my wife was like, why are you not mad? And I'm like, I mean, for what? You know, it's one of those things that really, they didn't get anything. Thank God that, you know, they have securities in place now to where, you know, they don't let you get anything. I'm more upset about my having to get a new ID because they have to mail it to you now. Other business cards, contacts, different stuff like that. But my point is that I believe one of the reasons why I was able to handle it calmly is because I have been praying in the spirit, not as much as I want to. I want to spend more time praying, fasting, worshiping, because I can always grow. But I do believe that particular situation helped me to where it's like, okay, Lord, they didn't get anything. I'm not going to use this time to be stressed. Yes, it's a big inconvenience. However, there's worse things that happen. You know, there's worse things that happen in life. I have my healing. I'm in my right mind. My children are healed. My wife is healed. We have what we need. We don't always have what we want, but we have what we need. And so, I believe that situation is a fruit or an example of, okay, I've been praying in the spirit. Lord, I've been doing what you say do. And I noticed just the peace that was released in me. I'm like, I should be more mad. And I was, honestly, I was like, you know what? I want to get mad. And I just couldn't do it. I'm just like, I wanted to be mad. Like, yeah, I should be mad about this. And my wife was like, yeah, I would be mad. I'm like, yeah, I should be mad. And I just spent about 20 minutes trying to get mad about it. And it was just like, dude, there's nothing you could be mad about. I don't know. I really wanted to be mad about it. But it didn't happen. And, you know, I didn't have any money. And so I'm like, hey, babe, I need some money. So now I can ask her for money, and I can say, hey, can I have some money? I don't have any right now. Well, I have some, but I can't go to the bank and get anything because I don't have a card or ID. So, but again, I can laugh about it now because I'm just noticing little things that the lifestyle of praying, fasting, worshiping is really shifting, not just me mentally, but physically in my day-to-day walk. I just gave you several different examples of just regular day-to-day stuff. And again, you know, I want to spend more time praying, and I've told God, okay, Lord, I definitely want to spend more time praying. I want to spend more time, you know, fasting. Whew, Lord Jesus. I want to spend more time, which fasting, it wasn't that bad. We did a Daniel fast this time. And surprisingly, there's some pretty good food out there that, you know, you don't have to eat meat. Now, am I a vegetarian now? No. I definitely like, when I go to Chipotle, I want the chicken and the sour cream. Anyway, my point is that I want to grow in the understanding and the knowledge and learning how to activate my born-again spirit to handle the things of life. I gave an example about healing. Healing is not the only thing. Again, mentally, physically, emotionally, you know, a lot of times the devil will stir things up in our emotions just so he can get us to say certain things that are not according to God's will. And so me learning how to activate, but me having an understanding that the healing, the knowledge and understanding is already there. God has given it to me. He says, if there's something you don't understand, come to me. Come talk to me. When I talk to my sons, you know, sometimes they'll, you know, my Pharaoh, my oldest son, he's like, Daddy, I'm hungry. I'm like, Mama's in there cooking. He's like, yeah, but I'm really hungry right now. It's like, dude, relax. Mom is in there cooking. And he's like, okay, she is cooking. My point is that a lot of times we get so anxious, and God is like, I've already taken care of that. You're sick. You're already healed. You know what to do. You need finances? Okay. You know what to do. You need understanding? Come ask me about it. It's really showing me particularly that the more I spend time praying in the spirit and releasing, like I say, the healing, the knowledge, the understanding, that God is not more real, but I'm more of aware of his presence to the point to where, just like I'm aware of your presence in a room, when I'm in a room by myself, it's like, God is with me. You know, he's literally, it's not a figurative thing. He's literally watching me. He's literally wanting to talk to me. He's literally wanting to communicate with me daily and show me things. And all the worries, all the stress, I need healing. Like I told you, giving an example about my allergies, I haven't had any issues. I'm healed. I'm literally healed. And I've tested it. I go to Saki. I don't like shrimp or like the shellfish, but they cook it around the food and there's no problems. Before, I couldn't dare do that. I literally, my eyes would swell shut if I even came and just smelled the fish or the shellfish. Now, my wife, she gets her shrimp. It's disgusting, but you know, that's her favorite food. And I get my food, and I have no issues whatsoever. I used to have to take Benadryl, like, daily. And imagine taking 2 Benadryl every day. So I'm starting my day off like this. Oh, yeah. Literally trying to fight through everything. And it came to the point to where I'm like, you know what, I just can't do it. So I don't know when's the last time I took a Benadryl. It's probably been about a year. And so my point is that a healing was released into my body, and so I'm completely healed. I don't have any issues. If an issue does come up with something else, I know exactly what to do. So if I leave you with anything, it's to understand what has happened when you got born again and understand that God wants you to talk to him about it, and he wants to give you understanding that whatever you need, it is released and is accessed through your born-again spirit. So if it's healing, if it's money, if it's understanding, if it's peace, if you're depressed, whatever the situation is, we are to continue to pray in the spirit, build up our faith, and then just go through God's word and look through the promises. You can even come through and go through God's word and categorize the promises for healing, for finances, for money, so that once you're building up the faith, you can take those categories and take that word, and with that faith matched with his word, boom. That's all it takes. And I'm learning that, and I've learned that, and I will continue to learn it, because I believe that I will ever, forever be a student of his word. You know, there's no way that I can, you know, say or think, well, I've arrived. No, I'm learning. I'm like a babe. I want to just continue to soak in the word, continue to allow God to use me, and to continue to gain understanding about, okay, what all did I get? I know we talk a lot about born again, but there's so much more about born again that we still don't know. You know, there's a lot more understanding about that. So, again, if you leave with anything today, when you go home, just look in the mirror, and if you have something wrong, I'm healed. And even if it doesn't happen right then and there, just know that, similar to what Pastor Jim said, faith does not fail. It's guaranteed. It is guaranteed that whatever situation you have, your born-again spirit can release it into your body. The understanding can be released into your physical mind. And if you have something that you don't know, if you have a decision that you need to make and you're not sure, don't just do it. Ask God, wait for the understanding, wait for the wisdom, and then go accordingly. So, but yeah, but thank you for listening and laughing with me and sharing God's word. Please stand. I really do appreciate, you know, I got a lot of slack when I first came here. I'm not going to say any names, but I just knew that this is where God wanted me and my family, and that the word that comes from here, from our pastor, from Elaine, Jamie, Brother Barry, Brother Bronk, Brother Gary, and other ministers that come here, I mean, it has really reshaped my life, my family's life, to the point to where I know for a fact 100% that I have no regrets whatsoever in coming here, learning, listening, fellowshipping, because I really do believe that, and this is for anybody out there in internet land, you know, a lot, God has spoken to some of you, and you're supposed to be here, and you're not. And, you know, that's between you and God. You know, there's no condemnation, but some people have been dealing with, well, where should I go? This is the place. I can vouch for it. And so can my wife.